Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to episode number 137 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb. And Sean Orford, how are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing amazingly well.
Another week, another podcast.
Another day, another dollar.
And we're over in Liverpool again, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Taking nice the view.
View out there, but...
And if you hear anybody crunching in the background, it's Emma.
Emma is munching on a salad bowl. What you got?
Yeah, lettuce, apple, or avocado and broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
The couscous or pasta or...?
No, January.
No carb, January or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Just wine.
Very good, very good. This week we're talking about satisfaction, aren't we?
I can't get no.
Why do we always want more?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But
do you always want more?
Yeah, I guess I'm guilty of that every now and again. I think I'm getting better. I've seen the light early on, I guess. But yeah, we'll see. We'll come back to that in a sec. But yeah, that was Trix. You had a good week?
Yeah, life's good for me. Life is very good.
Working hard.
Always do.
Bit of a cold snap, fine. The weather's kind of getting a bit chilly.
Yeah. It's really overcast out there.
And I've got the flowers don't know what's going on because we had bulbs coming up.
Yeah.
Like at Christmas.
That's when all the orchards, they lose their flowers, which means you end up with lousy harvests and no apples and things like that.
Okay.
Because they all come out and then they get frosted off.
I don't know what the heck is going on.
It's not good.
Okay. Should we just dive into this week's show?
Yeah, I think we should.
We won't have our usual 4 or 5 minute preamble about...
Keep bleating on about
everything
life
and anything. Some people really like that bit, but...
Yeah, some people have said to me, why don't you two just stop nattering and get on with what you're doing?
Get on with it! We will this week. I had a chat with a guy called Lee, who's a fan of the show and lived nearby, so we met up for a bit of a powwow.
Yep.
Similar age to myself, a couple of kids, and he sent me a few suggestions for the show. Nice guy. As everyone that listens to the show is, of course. But one of them was about satisfaction and why do we always want more. And Lee, I say similar age to me, and he sees himself as a bit of a crossroads of his life, I think. Good job, good life, happy family and all that stuff, but he's kind of thinking about maybe going it alone in his line of work. He's not sure, really, and he's confused about whether he should be chasing the money or chasing the lifestyle, that kind of work-life balance myth that we've talked about a few times. So, yeah. Thought we should have a bit of a chat about that, really.
Yeah.
So do you think it's evolutionary?
This kind of I think the need to obtain things comes right back to being hunter-gatherers. And when you're out there in the bush and you're hunting and gathering, what you do is, if there's a surfeit of nuts, you gather more nuts than you're going to eat today, so you've got some nuts for tomorrow.
Yep.
And I think that's where it begins. There's a natural human drive to accumulate stuff to survive.
Or to have enough to survive the winter, not just for tomorrow,
yeah.
It's to kind of get you through the next.
Yeah, well, certainly as human beings moved away from the equator and came north, if the barns aren't full by the end of harvest, then you're all dead come the spring because there's been nothing to eat.
Yep.
So there is that sense in it as well. But I think it's our craving to have more starts right back in our evolutionary past and is a fundamental part of who we are.
Yeah.
So that as we urbanise and industrialise, and then we get this massive amount of stuff that we can have that we don't actually need, but we want it. You know, it's that thing about how many handbags can a woman have or a man have for that kind of that.
Well, you spent a chunk of your life travelling. I'm assuming just with whatever you could fit on your back.
It was. It's the rule of three. It's the rule of three. You have three pairs of pants, so you've got one pair on, one pair that need washing, and one pair that are drying, kind of thing. It's you know, one in stock, kind of thing. So
yep.
you have three T-shirts, three pairs of jeans. So it was always the rule of three.
Cool.
And then you could always be didn't smell too much.
Not too much.
Too much. Yeah.
I've got something in my pocket. Look at this. I've got a bit of money. Actually.
Big wad of notes.
Money is important as well. It's not a bad little wad. And this. Look at this.
Oh, it's a gift card.
It's a River Island gift card.
Thank you.
It's got £25 on there.
Right.
And I've got this money here is birthday money.
Right.
Which I've kept aside. I did spend a little bit having the gutters cleaned last week because some guy came by and thought...
You spent some birthday money having your gutters cleaned.
Yeah, that's the kind of stage.
You know how to have a good time.
I don't usually have cash around, but I did, so I thought, OK, we'll get it done. Anyway, I'm going to go to River Island later.
If they let you down there.
If we get through, yeah, past the police cordons. And I'm going to buy some stuff, some clothes, maybe a couple of shirts, a pair of shoes. Which, you know, do I need them? I've got a cupboard full of stuff at home.
But if someone hadn't given you this gift card to go to River Island, would you be going down to River Island to get shirts?
No.
That's not a bad thing, is it? It's a gift.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be ungrateful. And actually, because my birthday's around, it's just before Christmas, so December is my kind of wardrobe refresh time of year. That's when I get new clothes and stuff, because between that, I don't go shopping at all, really. I can't remember the last time I was in a shopping centre that wasn't during Christmas, or I kind of avoid it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I need to declutter my wardrobes.
Well, I try, when I do get the new stuff in, I'll chuck a few bits out as well. Christmas, I find, is a good time for that in general, having a clear out, because especially with a couple of little ones, because it's just the house has just been bombarded with this pile of stuff.
Yeah.
Which I see as a good excuse to kind of get rid of stuff that we don't need anymore.
Well, I said very clearly at Christmas, do you remember coming out to Christmas? I said, if I can't eat it or I can't drink it, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And boy, have I got some stuff to eat. It's going to take me till the summer to eat through all the biscuits and the sweets and the chocolates and the licorice and all kinds of stuff that I've got. Yeah. And that's okay.
It's fine. Well, it's nourishment, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you could live solely off that. Maybe if people just got you stuff you could live off through the winter next year.
Well, I got asked for sort of Brussels sprouts and turnips and things like that. Yeah.
Wholemeal rice, that kind of thing.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. There's a blog post I found, psychologies.co.uk, why do we want more than we need, which is a little post written by a psychologist, or was he a philosopher type dude. Really cool. And if you ignore all the load of adverts on the blog post, as you tend to get on websites on the right hand side,
they're all trying to get you to buy more,
which are preaching the exact opposite of what the blog post says. There's some good stuff in there, and one of them is Buddha's answer to the pain of wanting is to let go of the future. Indeed, to let go of anything that isn't right here, right now. That kind of fits in with...
Well, I think that that's very real for us in society. Previous generations, it was a case of if you didn't have the money, you couldn't have it. So you'd have to save up your money. So people had long engagements with a bottom drawer where they were saving up to get married. Now we use credit to bring the future into the present. We can have what we would normally have in the future right now.
Yeah.
By using either a higher purchase agreement or a credit card or whatever.
Sure. I'm just sending the other round and just trying to get myself
I know we'll be doing that soon. We're hoping to get some work done on the house, so it's a big chunk of money, and that's not the kind of cash I carry around in my pocket or my bedroom drawer.
Yep.
So we're going to get a loan for it.
Yeah, and most people in terms of houses and mortgages and cars, things like that, it's like car and house are usually the biggest debts that people hold and are servicing. But the issue always is that credit allows you to have the future in the present.
Yeah.
And our issue is about living in the present. What Buddha's saying about to let go of wanting, you have to let go of the future. And that's what it is. You have to let go of needing the future now.
Right.
And living in the present. And we know from the work that we do, live in the present, that when people keep focusing on the future, they create anxiety.
Indeed.
So we get an anxiety to get something. And it's always the joke is that when there's a new Apple product comes out, that all the hype comes, and then they're starting to kind of wind everybody up and build everybody up. And they deliberately feed the rumours out, leak it out into society to get everybody wound up to do it. And then you end up with these huge queues outside the stores on the day when it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Top of the news that day, isn't it?
Yeah.
People clamouring for the new whatever.
Yeah.
Which I have bought a couple of phones on release day in the past. To be fair, guilty.
I was there in the week of the iPad Pro. I wanted one because it does what I want it to do.
Yeah, you talk about anxiety in terms of wanting stuff future. I'm getting that a little bit with the extension we're able to do because it's a lot of money, so I'm anxious that we need to hire the right person to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm putting a lot of thought into, and I'm enjoying the kind of design process, thinking it through in my head.
Yep.
What the space is going to be like, what we're going to use, what lighting and all that stuff.
But yep.
There's quite a lot of anxiety involved as well, I guess, because I'm worried about the neighbours as well, because, you know, we share a wall with some very lovely people, and I don't want to kind of put them out at all, if possible, which is probably impossible, because there's going to be a lot of banging and drilling and all.
Yeah, but then if they were extending their place, you'd be tolerating them.
That'd be cool.
It's the give and take.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Community living.
Mm. We kind of live in this age of austerity, don't we? Which
We're told it's austerity. One of the things that I worry about phrases like that is that as soon as the news comes on and we all say, "Oh, we're living in austerity," everybody starts to panic.
Yeah.
It's a bit like we know that the Chinese economy is slowing down. Yeah, because it was burning, it was going hot. So that if you then read the reports about what the effects of that are going to be, it's like we're all going to hell in a handcart because China isn't using so much coal or something.
Yeah.
But those concepts, that's the issue about the news, isn't it? You turn the media on and then the media is going to feed you this line. And then it starts to create a global expectation. And then soon someone says, austerity is over and we're all rich now. And then everybody starts spending again. Yes, yeah.
Which has happened in the last few years. And then I think in reality we're living in an age of massive abundance, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
Probably too much.
Well, statistically, globally, people in Britain who are our poorest, who are on, or not the people that are on the streets, the people that are living on benefits, yeah, are still in the top 10 richest people on the planet.
Okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then the drive to get more. Emma, who's hiding over there, said a little while ago that the average person apparently is holding $2,500 on a credit card.
On Christmas.
Yeah, from Christmas.
From just Christmas spends.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and if you add that up across the country, that's a lot of dosh, where people have created the future in the present.
Well, we all get pressure, yeah, don't we, from family, for friends, to kind of have a certain level of lifestyle, and there's the keeping up with the Joneses side of things. You know, who gets a fancy car? Like, oh my word, what is going on? I need to upgrade our.
It's relative deprivation, Astra, isn't it? If everybody in your street's got two cars and you've only got one, oh my god,
yeah,
you're relatively poor.
Mm.
Yeah, and people feel that kind of stuff. You know.
So how can you get over it then? How do we get to this Zen kind of?
It's called waking up. Waking up is hard to do.
Yeah, anyone ever write a book about that?
They did, actually. I know him very well. I see him in the mirror every morning. But the whole issue about waking up is becoming aware, becoming mindful of what we're doing. You know, why are we doing what we're doing? Why am I buying that? You know, you're going to trolley off to River Island to get this stuff. And is it that you're going to, with this lovely gift that people have given you, you're going to go and get some lovely new clothes, but are you going to go home and empty out the stuff that you don't need and take that down to the homeless?
I am going to. I'll give one of those bags so you can come and collect them each week. You know,
yeah.
You get a little bag. I will do that. Because I am quite, with clothes, you know, I'm not too bothered. As long as they fit well and they look all right, I'm happy.
You don't mind whether they're men's or women's?
I'm not bothered. Men. In fact, I've got a woman's coat. You know, yes. Have you heard about that story?
Yeah, yeah, no, you came and said to me, I'm now wearing women's clothes, which is actually what you said to me.
Yeah,
and I'm
ladies' clothes as well, to be honest.
No. And I'm thinking, are we talking about underwear here, or are we talking about coats?
Yeah, well, they fit right. So, and it's blue. Blue isn't that feminine, is it?
But you're very slim, aren't you?
Thank you.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, clothes for me, you know, I'll wear them to death, then I'll chuck them, you know, give them away at the end of the year. So,
yeah.
I'm reading a book which I've mentioned a couple of times called The Great Disruption, the author of which I've forgotten. I'll put it in the show notes. Really interesting. It's kind of based around the climate change movement that's going on.
Yeah.
That has very much kicked off big time, thankfully, for the stuff that went on in Paris early December. Basically, which the part of the book which I'm just getting into now is talking about how we all need to get used to having less. And I'm really kind of interested in that and quite like the idea of that. Because, the physics behind how much of the world we're using, like the resources that the world has, and you know, the amount of land we're using for food, all that kind of thing, just isn't going to be sustainable.
Mm.
So we're going to have to get used to it either deliberately, and we kind of sort it out in the next 20, 30 years, or in 100 years, everything goes bang and there's a massive kind of, massive environmental disaster where lots of people die, which would be cool.
But also, when you think about, like, my parents, they'll never throw food out of the fridge. They'll always use it.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the one of the worst things for me is sell-by dates.
Sell-by
dates, use-by dates are ridiculous because it's estimated that 30% of the food we buy ends up in the bin, which is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with the food. We're obsessed with the date, so we throw it away.
I know. I mean, there have been a couple of shows on recently, haven't they, about that? I don't know if we're going to get to the point where sell-by dates can be deleted. Probably not. For kind of insurance reasons, people are going to eat stuff and start suing.
But that's what your nose was for. You know, evolution gave you a nose, so you could tell when it got off and you didn't eat it.
It's not being thrown away before it even gets to the supermarkets because it's not the right shape and all that kind of stuff.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So we need to wise up to stuff like that, don't we?
But that's the mindfulness waking up stuff. That's all the live in the present stuff. That's being aware of what you're doing. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Even if you're eating, sitting down and looking at, why am I eating this? Where's it come from?
Yeah.
You know, the fact there's a plate there, where did that come from?
Well, it's gratitude comes into all that too as well, isn't it?
Having an attitude of gratitude.
Thankful for everything.
Yeah.
For your mackerel and...
The avocado was a bit dodgy.
Was it?
Mm.
A bit off and you chucked it?
I think it's been there for a while.
Avocado is a funny one though, because it's like... You've got it for a week, it's not ready.
It's gone.
Off.
Now, there's a trick with an avocado, because when I used to cook in a restaurant, when the avocado is a bit hard, you just put it in the microwave for 10 seconds, and it ripens it and it softens up.
Top tip for you there, listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gee whiz. Outrageous.
not outrageous.
It's, well, no, it's...
Helpful,
yeah, sorry.
It's good.
Okay. Use the wrong word. The 4-hour work week... Tim Ferriss mentioned it loads of times. There's a chapter in that, and there's another bit on liveyourlegend.net, which talks about actually calculating how much you need. Because the trouble a lot of people have is they don't know how much they need to be comfortable or to...
But that's the thing about, if you say to people, how much do you want? They say £1 million. And when you actually go through their budget with them and you look at what they actually want to achieve, you suddenly discover that £100,000 are doing quite nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have these odd figures lodged
in there. That's right, £100,000... is achievable, you know.
Yeah.
The average salary will be.
Yep.
Where you get that over a few years. So often, I guess people worry that £1 million or whatever they need is unobtainable. But when if they actually worked out, sat down, did the maths, figured it out, and then worked out a path to that goal, it's not as hard as it may seem.
But if you look mindfully at what you do, when the TV turns on and the advert comes on and tells you that you really must have this thing,
yeah,
if you look at it mindfully, there's a part of your system that can say, actually, no, I don't. But if you get swept away and you get kind of washed away in the water of the advertising, then it becomes this thing that you must have.
Yeah.
And they do that with kids. I mean, if you look at the advertising that goes alongside the programmes... It's specific to get the kids to then say to their mother, I must have, I need. So you get the must-have toy. So this year it was those hoverboard things.
Yes, the ones that exploded.
Yeah, the exploding hoverboards. And it was the must-have gift. You know, that's what kids wanted. I want a hoverboard. And then everyone's got to have a hoverboard. Or the issue of, do your trainers need to have a certain maker's name on them? You know, I must have those. The fact that another pair of trainers at maybe half the price could be just as good or even better for your feet than the ones that you must have.
Yeah, it's a documentary by Alain de Botton, Status Anxiety. She looks into that. I think it's on YouTube, so I'll try and remember that in the links.
I think one of the other docu things which is good to watch is the Freakonomics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which you can get as a book or as a as a documentary to watch.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you talk about documentaries, do you ever use fulldocumentary.com?
No, I don't actually. But I know
that is really good.
Is that cool?
It's got literally thousands of documentaries, and you can go through using the search systems to hone it down to what you want.
Cool.
But massive amounts of information on the kind of things that we talk about. Really, really good.
Fulldocumentary.com.
Yeah, I use that quite a lot. The I guess when you look at the consumerism that we're talking about and the drive to have more and more and more and more, if you look at things like the TV systems that we're using, the Virgins and the Skies, and the hundreds of things that you could be watching, how many do we actually watch? You know, we pay for these systems that they've got these massive amounts of stations. How many do you actually tune into?
I guess there's an element as well that people aren't comfortable that much anymore than ever have been. Like, just being still on their own, with their own thoughts. We need to be entertained constantly, you know.
Storytellers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes right back to that, doesn't it?
Which I'm guilty, man, because I've always got YouTube going on in the background and podcasts and endless stuff on Netflix, you know. It's just ridiculous.
But in the last one, when we were talking about introversion and extroversion, like being able to have that still inner space to gather yourself together rather than being externally bombarded by stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Important balance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one day we'll get you meditating.
It'll happen, folks. I'm considering doing the detox very seriously.
The 13-day one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm winding up to do that.
So you're already getting in the zone for it?
Yeah, I'll be there soon. I've just been adapting diet. I've been following a girlie called Ella, Deliciously Ella.
Oh, yeah. I linked to her website a few shows ago.
Yeah, and she was someone who had a lot of physical illness and went through all the traditional medical routes to try and fix it, couldn't. And in the end, she approached it from a diet point of view and solved her problems. Mm-hmm. And she is quite specifically vegan, but quite strictly vegan. So things like tofu, say, which is a processed bean curd, she sees as a processed food. So that's out, you know. And I've been working through some of her stuff and creating some of her ideas and recipes, and working towards that idea of maybe having a couple of months of doing some quite good kind of vegan-y kind of food, taking all the dairy out and stuff like that.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. In kind of a summary then, often we kind of go through life on autopilot a bit. We talk about waking up. I guess we need to, well, we talk about loads about figuring out what it is that you really, 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 really want, eh?
Yeah. But you could turn that around and say, what do you really, 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 really need? Because that idea of how much stuff, you know, it's in when I was in the monastic kind of settings where you'd have a guy who could put all his possessions in a case in about 20 minutes and off he'd go. You know, he had a bed, roll, change of clothes, food bowl, a couple of books, chuck it all in a bag and gone.
If he had a Kindle, he could have got like 100 books.
But he could have.
Smaller space. I got the perfect product for you, sir.
Yeah. Meditate with it. The thing for me is, if I want to move, I need vans. I need troops of people that are going to load all this stuff up and move it to where I want it to be.
So, I understand that your wife will be listening to this, but how do you relate that your current life to how you once lived for a short amount of time, where you had just a bag full of?
I think that the issues
of
stress are less when you haven't got that kind of stuff. You know, I think we do create a lot of stress by the possessions that we have, because once you've got possessions, then you need to protect it. So you need to have laws, and you need to have security staff, and then you need to have burglar alarms and cameras, and you know, the whole thing kind of builds up into this whole industry about how can I maintain this extra bag of nuts that I've collected in the woods so that no one else is going to take them off me.
Yeah.
You know, so all the things do fit together, that kind of stress and madness of our industrialised way of living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess one of the reasons we're hoping to get some work done on the house soonish is that I want to avoid having to move to a big house ever, or for a long time at least.
Yeah.
So rather than going through the stress and the strain of going to a bigger house, which obviously is the move process, which is a mission, it would be a bigger place, so there'd be higher expenses, whether it's through heating or mortgage payments. So I'm trying to do, you know, avert that situation by just making do with what we have.
There's been a program on TV over the last couple of years called George's Amazing Spaces.
Yeah.
And people that have made really small spaces into living spaces, which is quite fascinating. And when you look at the amount of space that we take up in all our houses and stuff, and what we actually need. It's like, what do you need?
Yeah.
What do you need as opposed to what do you want?
Mm.
You know, and do wants outweigh needs?
Yeah, we could go on for hours on this one, I think. We'll wrap it up there. Have you got a resource of the week, Sean? Because I haven't.
What I've put down here, it's a link which is about how do you get your financial world under control, and part of that, if you think about the amount of credit card debt people are holding, it's like get out of debt is number one.
Yeah.
But then it takes you through different ideas as to how you can stay out of debt and change the world. Yeah. So I think that's a good place to start.
Cool. Yeah, like it. I'll link to the book again that I mentioned, The Great Disruption by Paul Gilding. It is, which is pretty fascinating. It's kind of heavy going, the first few chapters, or the first, because it's kind of a bit doom and gloom in terms of the outlook for environmental stuff. But stick with it, because there's some massive opportunities, I think, for humanity to improve itself. In terms of how we use the resources and where we can all get to. So have a look at it.
Yeah,
well worth a look, I reckon.
Okay,
cool. Next week we're going to talk about insomnia. We haven't done sleep one in a while.
Yeah,
you struggle sleeping, Alan?
No, my mum does.
Your mum does.
Big time. 2 hours a night.
2 hours. Wow. She always sounds pretty perky on the phone.
Yeah, not always. Yeah. It's an issue for a lot of people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is actually. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, for all sorts of different reasons.
I think that one of the biggest issues is that we've learned in our culture to work great blocks of time and then sleep great blocks of time, and we're never designed to do that. Mm. If you look at primates, they do a bit, then they have a kip, then they do a bit more, and then they have a... It's a different way of being, like siestas and stuff.
Yeah.
So lots of stuff to look at.
All right, so insomnia specifically, and probably more a general chit-chat about sleep next week. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links, all the previous episodes, and lots more beside on the website. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well for kind of semi-daily nuggets of wisdom. Instagram too, of course. How can I forget it? And in the meantime, have yourselves a good week. Sean,
One day we need to have Emma as a star spot here. She's in the background. And
she's got some stories. Need to drag her in. This lady. She's got some stories. That you
Unbelievable story.
Yeah. Fascinating. Cool. All right, you take it easy.
Yeah, you take care.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.